I want my 5280 gig now!
Spotlight edition from the floor of Denver Comic Con, Pulp Comic Con. I don't know what they're calling it, con, because San Diego's a bunch of bitches. Anyway, it comes full circle, and I'm very excited to talk with this local author, Dacia Arnold. I met years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Before I was nobody then.
Oh, you were somebody. Shut up.
I was like a little blip on no one's radar.
That's not true. So you were part of the
Ghost Town Writers Retreat 2017, which was the only year.
The inaugural and ending year.
And ending
of
year.
That gone.
It was my introduction into the literary community, and I like friends that I made there that have just continued on. I actually met John Palisano at the Ghost Town Writers Retreat. He was there, and now he's the damn president of Horror Writers Association.
He's a unique little guy.
Well, I'm 5'2", so everyone's bigger than me. Like.
Fair enough. So, in your mind, you thought you're nobody, but you got in there. Mm-hmm. You asked a lot of good questions.
Oh,
you actually worked with Red on an event. You were like hanging out in a library looking for ghosts or some shit. I don't remember.
No, I think I was trying to sell my first novel to an agent for the first time. I didn't even know what a log line was, which is like just like your book in two words, like
right.
Something crazy. I didn't know really what agents did. I didn't know much anything about the publishing industry other than somebody else has to do it other than me. That's all I knew.
I'm not that organized. Now, did you go, because they did have a critique there. Did you subject yourself to that?
I did, and so I started writing in 2015. This retreat happened 2017, and that I had just finished my very first writing project ever, and my opening scene is like this big no-no, and my main character was waking up. And apparently you just don't do that anymore. It's like this tired trope, and this is what I've heard. And
what?
This is the critique that I got. And she's like, how about you start this book on page 30 and send it back to me? Yeah. So,
That's quite a blow to the solar plexus.
It was, but I am a sponge. I sat at the feet of every professional at that retreat, and that retreat happened in September?
Yeah, it was like August, September. It was cooler.
It was cooler. So that retreat happened in September, and my book was signed to a publisher December 5th, the day before my birthday. Yeah, and I had just finished it.
Wow, look at you.
And this isn't typical. I mean,
yeah, but you're talented.
Thank you.
Let's just stamp this on there right now. You're talented. Your idea was amazing.
Thank you. I work really, really hard, and I like I said, I just took every bit of advice that I could possibly apply to my work. I'm a perfectionist, so it is far easier to quit something than it is to fail at something. But this was a dream that ran way deeper than just let's see if I can do this.
Right. So. What gave you the idea? Do you want to give the premise out?
Because
your book is called Apparent Power.
Mm-hmm.
What's the theme? What got you here?
So apparent power is an electrical term for anything that has power. So if you're an electrician, you know what apparent power is.
The wire you don't grab.
Why? When I started writing, I was really into all those popular YA dystopian novels.
Oh God!
I know, right? But they were so addicting.
Talk about a tired trope.
Oh,
I mean, the dystopian teens is just.
It was. It was, and I got tired of reading it.
Yeah.
I sure did. I love the high action and the edge of my seat, but I was like, you know, I was a fucking idiot when I was a teenager. So, like, I started Googling adult fans of this will want to read, and then it was another YA, and I'm like, no, adults. No, adults. I want an adult. I want someone that I can relate to.
I want someone close to my age group.
And then at the same time, there was this TV show called Revolution, and it didn't run very long, I think 2 or 3 seasons, but the premise behind that TV show was that there was no electricity in the world. Mm-hmm. So it was a contemporary dystopia where present-day Earth just had no more electricity.
Right. I think it was like on NBC.
Yeah, something.
It was
another
one of the NBC dystopian.
It was so good. It was so good. And I'm a huge fan of dystopian period, so Walking Dead and, you know, Handmaid's Tale and all these.
I wish we'd do like a Road Warrior TV show.
Oh,
like,
my God.
That would be amazing.
Yes. So I couldn't find what I wanted to read, so I decided to write a woman who wakes up and she has her 20-year-old boobs back because, yes, please. So that's,
I wish I had my 20-year-old boobs back.
Oh, so that, like, that's page one.
And I woke up and I had 20-year-old boobs.
So the reason why I did this is when I was reading Divergent, I was 19 years old, joining the Army, going through that military training, the same as the main character. And I really, like, really got into it because I, you know, was a teeny tiny little female and I wasn't the best soldier in the world, and made it by the skin of my teeth. So I was like, okay, I get down with that, but I know that most women can't relate to a female veteran, or even just some moms can't, you know, they're not fit anymore because they had kids and now
life.
So the premise behind the story is a dormant gene awakens in a quarter of the population. This dormant gene it affects electricity. So your body, my body, our hearts beat with just this minute amount of electricity. Our nerves fire on electricity. We eat food, it turns into energy. So this dormant gene causes people to absorb electricity from the things around them. There's a check and balance system. The main character has a rare gene. So while you're absorbing electricity, the main character is able to release that stored energy. So my stored energy looks like my fat ass and my love handles. When she grounds this energy, like, everyone regresses in age and becomes like their peak physical condition. So when the adult women read this and the moms read this and they can identify with this character, like, yes, that's what I would do in this situation because I would physically be able to do it. I don't want them to be like, oh, I have bad knees, I have a bad back, I'm too fat, I couldn't walk 100 miles even to save my kid. And so that's,
so you open up the
that's
door.
I opened up the door.
Nice. And it's out right now.
It is.
It's available.
It is. It is available on my website, is DaishaMArnold.com. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere you want to buy a book.
All right. So you say you're a nerd and you're sporting the Umbrella Academy.
Yes.
T-shirt. Did you watch the show?
I did. No, I didn't watch the show. I'm just trying to fit in at Denver pop culture
con. There are a lot of people that do that. They have no idea what they're wearing.
Oh, no.
Yes. I had a dude walking around in a 42 t-shirt, and it was a unique design. I'm like, where'd you get a hitchhiker shirt? He's like,
what? I don't know. I just thought it was a cool shirt.
Yeah, I'd like...
42. Oh, man. No, I totally ate through. My husband didn't watch it. I totally watched it. We both did watch the Stranger Things, and I think I like Stranger Things for a reason that a lot of people don't pick up on. So Winona Ryder is fucking batshit crazy in real
life.
Okay.
Yes.
But you.
She's in a field somewhere with the poppies.
If you trap my child inside of my wall, I will break through that wall with my bare hands to save my child. And I was like, this is the book I want to write. This crazy Winona Ryder, like, tearing through a wall straight to the outside. I mean, spoiler alert.
I do.
Crazy. And all you see is this, like, crazy lady, like,
hair
looking
everywhere.
Through this wall. Like, oh.
The
goodness gracious. But that is.
But that's the mother instinct.
It is. You want to see my fingernails grow 3 inches in a second? You bring any kind of danger around my children, I will fucking destroy you. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
No, and I think she portrays that so.
Oh, she does such a
so
beautiful job. Oh, my goodness.
And I've forgotten how. A nutty one, Winona Ryder.
She's such a good job.
But to see her back in the limelight and to see her, and the way her and David Harbour play off of each other, it is so just. Oh.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Are you excited about season?
Season 3.
Season 3.
Yeah.
July 4th.
Yeah. Oh, is it that soon? See, I'm not hardcore. I don't even know when. I did Game of Thrones, man. I'll tell you what. I was fully prepared to have my world shattered and my dreams crushed and be severely disappointed. That I'm just happy it's over now.
Okay.
Like, you know, and that's all I'll say about it. A lot of people are still pretty pissed off, and I'm just like, I can't imagine being George R.R. Martin, and everyone gives him so much shit. But can you imagine creating a world that became way bigger than yourself? Like, and it just get away from you.
I mean, what happens if a pair of power does that? I mean, if that, what are you going to do?
I'm going to.
The premise and the idea is not out there. We haven't really seen your idea brought to TV or to movie or you know, even a radio drama. So.
Well, earlier this year, I actually posted on my website that Apparent Power did get signed with Netflix to create an original film. It was posted on April 1st of 2019, and everyone bit it. Now they loved it. My husband was fielding phone calls, and so there was a couple people. Like I was, so some of my college professors were congratulating me, and I had to like message them and be like, I am a horrible human being,
God.
And I really thank you for believing in me and believing in my writing and actually following me on social media after I was your student, but you know, maybe one day it'll be true, but it's definitely not going to be April 1st on 2019. I just gotten back from LA too, so like I was like, the real reason.
So it just totally fell in the line.
It did. I had to call my publicist and be like, Sammy, is this a bad idea? So a lot of people were very angry when they found out, but they're like, oh, like, I knew it. I knew it. This book reads just like a movie. I knew you were going to do this. Great job. So,
Well, and see, that just proves at least there's a market. Everybody jumps on, like, oh, of course.
And especially in today's turn of social norms and that women are finally fighting and succeeding and having an equal voice in science fiction even. Like, it's a bunch of swinging dicks. Excuse me.
How do you deal with that? I mean, being the one female and being the louder voice, I mean, have you found it difficult? Is it a lot of pushback?
I don't, because I don't acknowledge it. Nobody tells me to shut up.
Oh, I'm not going to keep breathing.
And at the same time, I'm humble enough to know that I'm new in the industry and that I have a lot to learn. But I found more often than not that, especially like men in the industry and women in the industry, are willing to give that hand up to the next person.
There are those out there that will pay.
Absolutely. In person, like, there's trolls all over the internet, but there's nobody I've met in person that was like, you know, fuck off.
Well, and it's easier to hide behind a keyboard.
That's true. I don't need that negativity in my life.
None of us do.
No. And I'm a confrontational person, but only when it's constructive and we're able to build, you know, each other on confrontation. But if you're going to be like, you're just a stupid woman, then I'm just going to ignore you because I don't care. I'm sorry.
Because I'm a man.
Yeah. I'm a man.
Like Red likes to say. Because I'm a man. What would you have written different for Game of Thrones? Since basically it was kind of up there, would you have done anything differently?
We're giving spoilers.
Yeah.
I would. John just would have been king of everything. He didn't want it, but he would have been the logical choice. Fuck Bran. And my husband was most pissed off that it was for no fucking reason.
For no reason.
No reason. Everything was for no reason. Three-eyed raven, no reason. Yeah, Targaryen, no reason.
No, just for Just because.
Oh, no. I was upset. But then, like, if you think about it, if your first girlfriend tried to kill you, and then your second girlfriend tried to kill you, then maybe you shouldn't have any more girlfriends.
I think you might be the problem, not them.
Yeah, you know, I'm just saying, maybe you should go back to the Night's Watch. I don't know what you're watching for, but just go back there and disappear.
And, to be fair, the ginger did try to kill him before she married him.
Yeah, that's okay. Fuck that bitch. She died anyway. I am Jon Snow. My husband looks like Jon Snow.
Really?
No, people
can't
see this.
I don't think I met your husband.
No, he'll be here in just a little bit, but no, I won. I won the world. Yeah, let me...
Well, and I was just disappointed that at the end, we don't. Oh my God, it is Jon Snow.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And he doesn't cosplay, but because I haven't seen any Jon Snows in Pop Culture Con.
Not yet.
So I think this year we're going to Halloween as I'll be the redheaded wildling because I hate that bitch Daenerys Targaryen. I'm sorry about all the cuss words, everybody.
They're used to it.
It's Sunday, and I'm running on fumes, man.
How many cons have you been doing?
This is my first convention.
What?
Yes.
This is your first one and you're already toasty?
Yes. But I love it. There's a lot of things I'll do different. I'll probably have my own table. Just because it is helpful as, like, I'm very charismatic and I'm not a shy person, but I'm an introvert and, like... I don't know where this energy is coming from. I don't know. I'm empathic. I just draw it from other people. Like, if you pass out, it's because I took it all.
Just drain me. Like that episode about Mad About You where Jamie comes home and her and Paul get frisky and she leaves Paul just this wreck mess. She just goes and runs a marathon.
Minus the sex.
Minus the sex.
That's weird. That's a weird analogy. Thanks, man.
That's the
only
thing I had for an
analogy. You're like a leech. American Gods. Sorry, I just like the...
You know what? The second season... Fuck the second season.
Where's... Just war already.
Something.
Just war already.
Just something.
Mad Sweeney died and I was pissed off.
The one good character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to see him and the dead wife just continue through until she gave the coin back.
But, however, with her carrying him... I think she's gonna go back to the voodoo daddy.
Really? That was a weird scene.
That was really weird.
It made me uncomfortable, but then it was like, but they were lovers to begin with, so switch in, and then it's kind of the swingers thing, and I'm confused, and whose arm is somewhere?
None of the season that went on. Because 1 week we're here, the next week we're over there, the characters are the same. The only one that is decent was Sweeney. And
yeah, and then his whole backstory we finally got, but it was heartbreaking.
But even then, was that? Because the way they kept breaking it up and like, well, that isn't what you told me before.
Yeah.
So they kept, fucking with us.
And then like, and how did Dead Wife play into the past?
Yeah.
Like, and they never fleshed it out. What? Sorry, who's upset about that?
I may not come back for season 3.
You know, I would think we're done too. We stopped, like, I think we had 2 episodes left and we stopped.
Well, when it ended, I'm just sitting there like, what the hell did I just watch?
Yeah.
That was just, you know.
And then, like, what about banging the cat lady? Like, what?
Yeah, that was...
Where did that come from?
Purely pointless.
Oh, yeah. Bran?
Bran again? They just brand
bad,
didn't they?
No, I'm
gonna
be like,
son of a bitch.
Oh, man. I'm gonna be branding by the end of this call.
Yes!
No!
Achievement point. I made her snort, ladies and gentlemen.
I quit.
I made her snort. So, what did you like when you were growing up? Were you always into it?
Let me see. So because my dad is my hero, my brother is also like a big, like idol in my life. So all the Saturday morning cartoons, Goonies. What did I watch the other day? So The Dark Crystal is getting a reboot.
Yeah, Netflix is huge fan. The prequel to The Dark Crystal.
Mm-hmm. I constantly quote David Bowie in Labyrinth and, what else? I just watched this movie, Van Damme. So my dad was a huge Van Damme fan. So I was a huge Van Damme fan. Cyborg.
Oh my god, such a horrible film.
No, it was terrible. I watched it the other night.
He's
was
sitting
on TV.
There holding the barbed wire with the girl.
So I thought it was him too, but it was the girl. And he survived the well.
That's right.
And the rest of them did not. And then you're like, oh my gosh. So I love dystopian.
You are.
Mad Max, like old school, like, yeah, old school.
Although
Mad Max.
The new
Solar Babies. Do you remember Solar?
I do remember Solar Babies.
Oh, see, a lot of people don't remember Solar Babies. But what is it? Bowdie.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. All these dystopian. It was just so famous back in the 80s, I guess.
Yeah, it was the thing, though. That was kind of the craze.
Yeah.
And then we got grunge and it...
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Everyone's like 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what it was, what I really, really want.
What are you gelling on right now?
Spice
besides,
up your life.
Besides Game of Thrones. You looking forward to anything over the summer?
Oh,
evidently, it's not going to be cons.
No. I'm going to Yellowstone next week. I'm going to unplug everything.
Nice.
And veg out. Stranger Things, now that I know it's in July.
July 4th.
And...
Because I got to see what happens to Steve.
Yeah.
I love Steve.
Oh, yeah.
And I hated him in the beginning, which really... Because they built that character for you just to despise.
Yeah.
And then he has that dare to be great moment, and he surpasses it. And then he dicks out again.
He dicks out.
And then he swings back the other way, and he's like, well, I don't want to get in trouble, and I don't want him to blame the babysitter when the kids end up dead.
Oh,
so, I mean,
yeah.
Just to see him working at the wiener hut.
Such a douche.
He was such a douche. But at the end, you're all like, oh. But now he's going to be working in a mall. And I remember the mall guys.
Yeah,
so,
the mall guys.
You know the type.
I know
the
mall
ones
guys.
That worked at the pager store in the center of the mall.
Yeah.
They were like, cooler than shit.
And they would
buildings.
Just ignore everybody
yes.
that walked by, which was like what most people
the cool
prefer.
To do, yeah.
Let's see. I can't think of anything else I'm looking forward to now that Game of Thrones is over. Oh, American Horror Story. I am a fiend.
I'm curious to see what they're going to do because they lost me a while ago.
Yeah, well, they pulled an April Fool's about Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
And I don't know. The clown political one was meh.
Yeah.
This last one with bringing the coven back was, I liked it. I was down.
It wasn't bad.
I was down tying all... I really enjoy how each actor will play multiple characters in the same episode.
Like a theater trope.
And then everybody just, like, doesn't recognize that they're the same damn person. I actually love it. I can get down with that.
Suspension of disbelief.
Yes.
It's very cool. Is there a genre you want to write? I mean, what are you thinking? I mean, I don't want to think you already got your next couple books planned, but
yeah.
you've already got outlines and... You're good to go. So what do you want to write and what are you looking at?
So I just published a book on Tuesday, which is everything I did yesterday.
Just yesterday.
I just pulled it out of my good side, you know.
Yesterday was Saturday, by the way. Just
yeah,
so you know.
Thanks. It's like the sixth Monday of the week. So I published a book on Tuesday, which is this really tiny collection of everything. I will try... to write anything, and I think that exercising your writing muscle in different points of view genres. I write fiction, a little bit of, there's my first published horror is in there, which I'm really excited about, and some contemporary romance, historical fiction. There's nonfiction in there, so there's a couple of just prose about my time in the military, my time as a mom, and then a couple poems, which I suck at. I am not a poet, and then a couple like one scene plays. So I will write anything, and like I go into everything not anticipating to fail. So like if I was in an airplane and someone handed me a parachute and was like, "You can do this," I'd be like, "I'm gonna do this," and I just jump out of the fucking airplane. If you tell me I could do it. I'm currently working on a fantasy novel, Hero's Quest, which is completely 360 from what I'm working on in science fiction. But it's the monster's a mashup between King Midas and Medusa. So
Ooh.
Instead of turning people to stone, she turns people to gold. And the one of the subplots is this woman is sold into a marriage to a horrible man, and she has a baby, and she feeds and nurtures this baby until the baby's weight in gold matches what it would cost for her to buy out of her marriage.
Wow.
Yeah, so
that's deep.
It is deep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Being a suppressed woman sucks, you know?
Yeah. I try to support as much. I try not to talk politics, but yeah.
Yeah. I know. Well, we're all humans, and I think it's time that
that's the bottom line.
That we're all treated like humans.
We're all humans.
Yeah, so exactly.
I don't care who or what you are. You're human? All right.
Yeah.
We're good.
I agree. I completely agree.
How do the people playing at home follow you, keep an eye on you, stalk you efficiently?
Oh, you can stalk me efficiently by looking up Desham Arnold on everything. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as my website, Desham Arnold. Yep. All right. Not hard to find.
Okay. That kind of wraps, unless there's something else.
No.
I monopolized you for...
An hour?
Half
hour. Let's do it. I'm settled in, man.
No, there's people behind this. I would dominate. I would just set up the gear.
Hang out in here.
Fuck all everybody else.
Oh, my goodness. I really enjoy the science, or the science.
The science.
Oh, my God. The silence. Silence of the media room.
It's nice and secluded in here.
It is. It is. Out of the way. Like, I enjoy people, and I want people to say hi to me, and, find me and read my books, but
so on your horror, is it screaming teens running, biting, or is it slaughter, or is it suspense? I mean, what horror do you draw to?
I do very soft, suspenseful horror. I do I don't know because I'm pretty new into the horror industry. Like, yeah.
You work into it.
Yeah.
That's the nice thing about horror.
Something like spooky. Spooky horror.
Spooky horror is the best.
Spooky horror.
Ghostbuster horror.
I wrote this one short story. It's like do we have time?
Two takes.
Okay.
Short story.
Short story set in Paris at this Museum of Vampires. It's a surreal museum in Paris. This American girl goes in there, and she spooks anyway, so she kind of stays back from the crowd. She hears this woman crying. She goes into this room, and then there's nobody in this room crying, so she thinks it's just like a speaker or something, and this woman singing the song in French, Jacques, my love, Jacques, my life, why have you gone away from me? And so this story's meant to be spoken out loud, so I'll sing in this French. Anyway, so she gets to this mannequin, figures that's where the speaker's coming from, and the mannequin's like, changes the song, they won't go away, they won't go away, why won't they go away? And she reads this plaque that the curator who just passed away a few months ago, that was, he made a model of his wife when she died 5 years after they were married, and that mannequin's been in there for 30 years.
Ooh, that's
why. You know, they had this mental connection, and so then so the girl looks up at the mannequin, and she's like, oh, it's more ghost stories, and then the mannequin screams, get away, little girl, get away, and so the girl falls back into this chair that has this dried up rose, and she pokes her butt on the rose and then runs away. Years later, she reads an article in the newspaper, like, she's gone to therapy and things like that, and the article says they're closing down this museum because they discovered all this time that this dead body's been on display in this museum. So the girl's like, my therapist told me to face my fears. So she decides she's going to break into this museum before they take this mannequin away and confront this fear, because she knew something was wrong. So she goes in and she confronts the mannequin, and the mannequin's like, I know you're here. I can hear your thoughts, because they had this connection, the same as the husband and wife. So she finds the mannequin. She sits in the chair, and she's like, what do you want? Like, how can I help you? I guess that's what spirits do.
Right.
Then she's like, can you sing? Please tell me you can sing. And the girl's like, yeah, sure, I can sing. And she's American, so her French is kind of off. So the woman's like, sing the song. So the girl shows, the mannequin sings the song, the girl repeats the song. And as she's singing, her body becomes stiff, and the glass opens up from the mannequin and closes around the girl.
Oh, my God.
So the girl becomes the mannequin enclosed, and then the girl who was the mannequin skips away.
And on that bombshell, you will have to follow Desha to find out what happens next. And on that bombshell, we shall say goodbye, because in the end, we are all stories, so make it a good one.